The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Welcome back to the Small Biz Ahead podcast. Gene, I have a question for you that I want to start the show with today.
Have you been thinking about this ahead? As you were coming in this morning, you're like, I've got some questions. I'm writing them down.
I do. I have a Gene folder in my Evernote, and it's like,
whatever pops into my mind, we're going to put in there.
Okay. Like, what should I ask Gene on the podcast? So my question today is, when do you get your best thinking done? Like, we always talk about how business owners spend so much time in the business rather than thinking about the business. Mm. Like, when do you think about your business? Is there a certain time of day or a certain time of year?
That's a really good question. I know my most productive time of the day is first thing in the morning. I know that. I mean, I get up every morning at 5 and I rock for like 3 hours.
Do you really pop out of bed at 5 or are you like, oh God?
No, I'm like usually, and if I know I'm going to be writing, because I always write something, that's when I write my writing time. So if I've got something good to write about, I'm pretty psyched to get up and like jump into it. And it's the best time of day.
What time do you go to bed?
About 10.
Oh, yeah, all right. So like you're
between
getting,
10 and 11.
Yeah, you're getting out. A solid six.
Yeah,
hours.
Yeah, 6-7 hours a night. And we, but it's when you get out of bed for everybody is tough the first like minute. But then once you're up and around, it's like the best time of day. But there's a difference. That time of day, productive. So I'm getting stuff just done. I'm writing. I'm thinking, of course, but I'm writing whatever. But like, as far as like long term and strategically about the business, which I don't do enough, and I know a lot of people do, you know, you're probably more than me. I have to say there's no like one regular time. It's usually when I travel. Mm-hmm. If I'm like on my own and I'm walking around and or if I'm walking, you know, in the city to some place, I know I'm going to be walking for like 20 minutes. I'll do my best not to listen to anything, you know, on my earbuds and instead just think about something that's going on with the business. So it's sporadic and it's, you know, and it's a regular. I was listening to an interview with Bill Gates recently, and he was saying that he's always, since he was a kid, has taken time out of the day to think.
And does he walk or what does he do?
He like, it depends on where he is of the day, but he clears basically all the things that he's doing. And sometimes he'll walk, sometimes he'll just be hanging around, but he thinks a lot. Like this is what, you know, and he said people used to make fun of him when he was a little kid, because he'd be, you know, his parents would come and say like, you know, why aren't you mowing the lawn or whatever? And his response would be, you know, well, I'm thinking right now. I'm just thinking, and people would be like, what are you possibly thinking of? But clearly it's Bill Gates. He was thinking about a lot.
Yeah.
So there's no set time where I'd be going around thinking. What about you? What do you think about? Like,
same thing when I'm traveling. I have the best ideas about my life when I'm like on an airplane. Yep. There's absolutely nothing I can do about those things at the time. I don't know. I feel like there's something about taking yourself away out of your current like day to day that just makes you step back and think like that's not a good thing for me to be pursuing.
Correct.
Or I should be doing this.
Correct. It's 100% right. There is. I can't tell you how often. Sometimes I get nervous when like employees of mine take vacations and then I'm waiting for them to come back and I'm waiting for like somebody to give me a call. You know, Gene, I've been thinking, you know, I'm thinking of doing something. Because when people go on vacations, this happens, you know, it's just, I don't know. You get out from your normal routine and you start seeing the whole world and life around you.
You step back a little bit. You have a little distance.
You do. And then you stop taking yourself so seriously because you see that you're one little peon in a, you know, in a giant world. And then you start rethinking about, well, that happens a lot. So, you know, and I do that when I go away, if I'm on vacation or whatever. That's when I use that time to think.
And then after 2 days back, you're like, that was a dumb idea.
Yeah, you're back there. It's exactly what happens again.
Okay, we'll be right back with our question after we hear from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by The Hartford. When the unexpected strikes, The Hartford strikes back for over 1 million small business customers with property, liability, and workers' compensation insurance. Check out The Hartford Small Business Insurance at thehartford.com.
Today's question is from Gabe. He doesn't tell us what kind of business. Well, he does tell us what kind of business he runs, but he doesn't tell us where he's from.
Okay.
So we're just going to say he's from...
He's a citizen of the world.
He's a citizen of the world.
Okay.
Okay, so Gabe writes, I run a pretty successful marketing agency.
Okay.
No, I don't sell advice on how to start a marketing consulting business like the guy in that previous episode. That's funny.
Right.
Although I do see those ads too, and yes, they are annoying. Okay, so what he's talking about is in a previous episode, someone wrote in saying they're constantly barraged with Facebook ads with...
the marketing guru.
Yeah.
Like, you spend $10,000 with me and I'll make your business grow 10 times. Yeah, right. Right.
So Gabe continues, my question though is whether or not it's possible for me to sell my business for a big payday. I've been running my business for 15 years. We bring in a huge amount of revenue and I profit about $200K a year for my own salary.
Cool.
Well, go on, Gabe.
Get out of the way, Gabe.
When I first started out, I was insanely hungry. I worked 80 hours a week and loved it. I'm getting tired now and I want to do something different or just work less, but I don't want my business to crumble. I still work about 60 to 80 hours a week. I would love to sell it and hopefully get a decent payday, take some time off, and then start up a new venture. But I don't know if that's possible with an agency. Can you provide some guidance on this or just your thoughts on it in general?
Mm.
So I think what he's asking is, can you sell an agency?
Yeah, or a service business, right? I mean, that's really what it is. So
when you are the business.
Yeah.
Like your time. And he's saying we, so I'm assuming he does have some employees.
So it's funny. I forget if I've said this on the show before, but so I run a service business like Gabe's. It's not a marketing agency, but it's a technology consulting firm. And Elizabeth, my business is worth nothing. I mean, I couldn't sell my business. It's all these years that I've worked, building it as it is. And the main,
Really? Why
yeah,
not?
Because I have no assets. I mean, I have cash.
Yeah.
I have, receivables.
Wait. You have your clients. You have your contacts.
Do I really have my clients and my contacts? I mean, what is keeping them with me? What if I were to sell my business to somebody else? There's no commitment. There's no contract.
Well, it's Corey that's keeping your clients.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's Corey and other people in my company that have, that have that relationship with the clients. But there's no guarantee that those clients are going to, continue on with our business. And that gets back to Gabe's issues. So if Gabe was running a business as a marketing agency, if I went to Gabe and Gabe was like, I've got, these 100 clients or 500 clients and they're all under contract for the next 3 years for these ongoing marketing services that we're providing. And I'd be like, dude, okay, I'll pay you something for that. I mean, you're telling me there's like 3 years of cash flow in the future and it's contracted. Yeah.
How many marketing agencies do that?
That's what I'm concerned about. I mean, I really don't know. If Gabe's business is anything like mine, and I kind of suspect that it is, he's probably going from project to project.
Because you're serving other small businesses.
Correct.
If you were serving like a big corporation, then you would sign a 2 or 3 year contract.
Possibly. I mean, some do and some don't. But yeah, you're right. So it really kind of depends on... And by the way, if you're working with a big corporation, they might even have in a contract that if there's change in ownership, the contract is null, So you got to look at that as well. So when Gabe says, like, can I sell my business? Well, the only way, and this is not, he's not going to enjoy this answer.
Sorry,
but Gabe, you're working 60 to 80 hour weeks now. If I were to buy your business, I would be expecting you to continue to work for me over the next 2 to 3 years while you transition that business over to new ownership. So it's not like you just get a check and then wipe your hands clean and walk away. I could sell my business to somebody else if I just became an employee of the business, was paid out based on, I guess, profits of the business or something amenable to my buyer.
Would that drive you crazy, though?
Yeah, probably. But then again, if there's a light at the end of the tunnel, that depends.
Yeah.
So if somebody were to say to me, Gene, I'll give you X dollars for your business, but you're going to earn it over the next 3 years because we're going to need you to be here and continue to interact with your clients and be the brand and the face of your company while we transition on as the new owners. That's the only scenario that service businesses can really be sold unless you've got like a guaranteed stream of, of income.
Now, what about you also have another business, which is yourself.
Yep,
like you
that's
go
correct.
Around,
I speak a lot. I get paid to speak.
Yep. You write books.
Yep.
You write articles.
Yep.
So you could actually, could you sustain that business without owning your first business?
Right. And that's a really good question. So the speaking and the writing that I do, I have a contract like the Hartford that I work with when I do this podcast, right? To me, I could probably sustain that business, but it would be a harder sell because I think one of the values that I bring when I do that stuff is I'm a business owner.
You're in the trenches.
I'm really in the trenches. So whenever I do podcasts like this, we're talking about, well, this is what was getting on my nerves this week, as a business owner. And so I think it takes away some of my credibility and could definitely hurt me. So I do think they're really intertwined.
So what else could service. So what is the best scenario for Gabe then?
So Gabe's best scenario is, well, the number one is if he, I don't know how old Gabe is, but if he's like, hey, listen, I'll sell this business in 5 years or 10 years from now, if he has the luxury of doing that, he should do his very, very best to try and change the model where he's contracting in with clients for a multiple year period of time, okay. Right? So that he can present, a cash flow to a prospective buyer and say, that's why accounting firms, they get sold based on a multiple of their revenues. Okay. Because when you're an accounting firm, you've got engagement letters with clients that sometimes operate multiple years. And in the accounting firm business, a lot of times people don't change accountants. They just stick with them.
Yeah.
So there's a residual income. So with Gabe, that's the best scenario for him, is to have that sort of long-term, contract with clients. He can get a prospective buyer, realize they'll be getting that. If he can't do that, then what he's got, the only thing he can sell is himself. Okay. And he'd say, if I'm going to sell my business, I'll be part of that on the asset. So you're going to be buying me, basically.
Yeah.
And then over the next 2 to 3 year payout, I will be working hard to transition this business to you, the new staff.
That's the next question, though. He wants to cut his hours. Could he go down to 40 hours?
It depends on what deal he decides to cut with the person that's going to buy him out.
Could you say, I'll work 40 hours a week?
Yeah, I mean, you could. And, a potential buyer might be, well, I'm actually going to need you to continue to do 60 hours a week, at least for the next year or two. So it depends on the deal that he cuts. But hopefully it'd be great to do that. It's just that a lot of business owners, they feel like they can just, first of all, everybody feels their business is more valuable than it really is. Mm-hmm. Everybody. And secondly, everybody does think that if they're going to sell their business, they're just going to wipe their hands clean and walk away. And very few businesses, particularly smaller companies, have the processes and organization and infrastructure where they can just hand over the reins to somebody else. So in Gabe's situation, that doesn't seem to be the case. So he's going to need to be really involved, whether it's 60 hours a week or 40 hours a week. He's going to have to determine that.
All right. Sorry, Gabe.
Sorry. Well, but Gabe, hopefully if you've built this up and you're the asset, then, you can exit.
Yeah.
Just it might take a little bit longer.
Crazy workhorse.
Yeah, Sounds like he's doing good.
Okay, we'll be right back with Gene's Word of Brilliance.
Do you want to start a business but don't know how to leverage your skills and strengths? Small Biz Ahead has you covered. Our new ebook, Opportunity Knocks, How to Find and Pursue a Business Idea That's Right for You, will help you determine the best markets for you to start a business in, how to set up a business based on your personality, and how to put your ideas into action with a solid business plan. Go to smallbizahead.com and click the link in the show notes to download your free copy today.
And we're back with Gene's Word of Brilliance.
So Elizabeth, it's been in the news very recently, and I just wrote about this for one of the news organizations that I write for. I have to ask you what you think of this. It's the Word of Brilliance is man tax. Two words. You heard this story?
No.
So a cafe owner... she owns a cafe. Her last name is O'Brien. She owns a cafe in Melbourne, Australia.
Okay.
And she's very, very upset at the gender pay differences in Australia, where in often cases, studies have shown that men get paid up to 20% more than women in a lot of different jobs.
The same as the US.
Of course. So she's very upset about that. So in her cafe, which is like a restaurant cafe, she is now charging men 18% more. If you're a guy and you want to use her cafe, there is an 18% man tax. And not only that, if there are people waiting to get in to like get a seat at the cafe, women get the priority seating over men. Now, she has said that she's taking that whatever proceeds that she raised, and she's giving it to like a women's welfare organization.
Okay.
So it's not like she's putting it into her pocket, but she's doing it to obviously raise awareness about this gender inequality. What do you think about that?
So how is her business doing?
She only started this within the past week as we're talking about this now. She claims that it's fine. She claims that she's getting a lot of support from both men and women. There's been a lot of reaction to it on Facebook and also on social media, because it's a lot of people are very offended by it. Some people say it creates even more diversity, and more gender inequality. Like, it's not helping to solve the problem. It's just basically making people angry. Others are very like, you go, girl. We like that.
But in terms of a business idea, I kind of like it because you're getting a lot of free publicity, which we've talked about.
She's gotten a lot.
Doesn't bring in customers usually, but right. I feel like something like this, it will.
Yep.
And I bet she actually has a lot of men go who are like, this is great. Like, I'm happy to support this.
She does, as a matter of fact. And as I wrote in the article, one person, one customer came in, a guy, and gave her more money, actually. He said, oh, this is going to charity. Here's an extra $20 to put to that charity.
It's
I fully support you. It's a pretty good thing. The downside is with business owners that take stands against stuff. You know, she's taking a stand on an issue, gender inequality, mm-hmm. and now she's involving her livelihood in that. So yeah. She's kind of sticking her neck out. I mean, for all she knows, it really upsets. So, I mean, last time I checked, men make up 50% of the population approximately. So theoretically, she really could be excluding that. But if they get angry, where it hurts her business as well.
Yeah, but I think there's also a group of men out there, younger men especially, who would go out of their way to support that.
Right, so they don't sympathize with her.
She might be alienating women who think it's dumb. Like, who knows? Like, she definitely is alienating some people, but I think she's also going to get a lot of goodwill out of that. I think it's kind of cool.
I think it's cool. It's gotten her a good amount of attention. My advice to anybody who wants to, and this goes on all over the place, where people do stuff with their businesses to make a social. And by the way, the millennial generation, survey after survey says that they are attracted to employers that are more socially conscious and get involved in social. Way more so than ever before, so that's okay. You want to attract good people and also good customers to your business. But, when you start doing stuff like that, you are just taking a risk that it could impact your revenues and your profitability. Yeah. And, she's putting herself out there. So there have been plenty of people on social media that have been writing, nasty things about her, because they don't think it's good.
I don't know. She sounds like a tough lady. And
seems like a very tough lady. I agree. So anyways, it's interesting to look. And I think that I think we're seeing more of it now. And I think we're going to continue to see more business owners around the world, get more involved in sort of politically, political issues, and kind of stick their necks out there. And the question is whether or not that is a good thing or not. I've got another word of brilliance, which I'll share in another podcast, that's a similar issue, but I think is another interesting thing to talk about.
Okay. Well, good thing we have another podcast coming up in a couple days.
Coming up, you'll hear it.
Stay tuned.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Gene for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.